Well, this week we're in our second week of This Christmas. This Christmas, we're going to talk about faith today. Last week was hope, and we were talking about how hope changes from being a verb to a noun. Instead of saying, well, I hope something good happens, we started talking about how when we place our hope in God, He gives us hope. It's something we actually have then. It's a noun. It's something to hold on to, and that hope becomes an anchor that holds us through all life's storms. Hope then becomes what carries us through all things. It allows us to stand firm in the midst of all things. It allows us to not move when we're being pushed against. And this week, we're going to take a step from that and into faith. Hebrews 11:1. Hebrews 11 is kind of the chapter of faith in the Bible. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. I used to play some pond hockey in Williams Lake. Has anyone played pond hockey before? There's ponds around here, but not always pond ice around here. In Williams Lake, I played some pond hockey a fair amount. I actually didn't even really know how to skate. It's embarrassing. In Williams Lake, I didn't really know how to skate. But then I started playing pond hockey. I learned how to skate. And pond hockey is amazing. Usually what it means is a lake or pond freezes over, and while it's freezing, it's snowing, and then a bunch of people get out, and Tim Hortons start shooting a commercial, you start shoveling snow. That's basically pond hockey. But you shovel all the snow off, get it all cleared up, maybe flood it, maybe put some more water to smooth it out. But usually what happens is a pond or lake is covered in snow when it's frozen. Well, one time I was playing pond hockey, and the lake freezes at all different times, right? The very outside gets frozen first, and it slowly starts working its way into the middle. Well, there was a time we were playing where most of the lake wasn't frozen, but the edges of the lake were, and in fact, in this bay, it had just frozen in the middle of the lake. And we were playing hockey way over on the side, and someone made a bad pass, most likely me, because I usually do, and shot the puck. It went over the snowbank. Yep, snowbank. Not boards, snowbank. It went over the snowbank and landed on this freshly frozen lake. No snow on it, nothing. It's so rare to see that. It's frozen lake with no snow. It was amazing. And so the puck lands on there, and it was like, the puck just, like, it just went for it. It was like it's picking up speed. It was crazy to watch. It just sent all this way. And my friend goes, well, I'll go get that. I'm like, oh, are you serious? Like, that lake is scary. Honestly, it looked like so barely anything there. He goes, well, we got to get our puck. We're Canadians. We got to go get our puck. We got to play hockey, right? So that's just the way it is. And plus, we're tough. If I fall through the ice, whatever. No, he didn't say that. But anyways, he's like, I'm going to get the puck. And I'm like, well, I hope it holds you, but I'll stay here. Hope you're okay. Do you want me to get a rope? Something like that. Like, I'll do something, but I'm going to stay here. I hope you're okay. I hope things are going to work out for you. I hope that everything is good. I hope that ice is strong enough for you, but I'm going to stay right here and not go. Well, he put his faith in the ice. Faith, all of a sudden, it was so solid. Like, he decided, you know, I hope that this is going to hold me, but also I have faith that this is going to hold me, so I'm going to get moving. And he started skating out. I just knew there was going to be a silent moment. I thought I'd hold it for a little while. You guys like that. Hey, everyone's like, tell us what happened. Come on, what did you happen? Well, nothing happened. That's why I held that. I had no other punchline, so I decided I better go with that, right? I better carry on with that one. Well, he skates out, and he's going out on the ice, and it you've never seen anything like it. Every track he makes is the first thing to ever touch that ice. It was just beautiful. And I was like, he looks like a dove or something. And he's skating out on the ice, and he goes out, and we're all watching. We're like, how's it feel? You know, is it okay? And we ended up all going out on this ice. And it was the best, almost like one of the most special nature moments in my life. Like National Geographic should have been there. Because we're skating, and honestly, you know when you look at a lake and you can't really see through because there's all these moving water and reflections? Well, imagine that same lake, but there's no moving water or reflections. It was like this tiny, we really shouldn't have skated on it, but it was this tiny amount of ice over the lake, and you could just see to the bottom of the lake while you're skating on it. That's a Canadian, like, I should write a book about that for Canada and for Tim Hortons. That's what I should do. Because we're skating, and the puck, if we lose the puck, we're skating in such a way that there's an end to the ice over there and then water. And so we lost some pucks in the water. We lost some pucks in the water. That's what kind of ice we're on. It was just amazing. But sometimes we're not going to ever see those types of experiences. We're never going to have those types of incredible things until we decide to move with faith. Faith moves us. Hope sometimes holds us still, right? And we talked about that last week, and that's often a good thing. Because sometimes we're trying to figure out, you know, there's something going on in our life, and we're trying to figure out all of the other ways. You know, God tells us a promise. We say, yeah, that's good. In the meantime, I'm going to figure out all the ways I can carry out that promise and leave you out of this, God. And we start to try to figure out all those ways. But if we put our hope in Him, we just stop. Whew, take a deep breath and say, God, You're going to do something here. You're going to change things here. So sometimes hope puts a hold on us and says, slow down, wait. Whatever comes your way, I will be with you. I will walk through it with you. I will support you. I will be your strength. And so that's what hope does sometimes. Sometimes hope stops us. But while we're standing there stopped, faith comes along and gets us moving sometimes. Because the same thing happens sometimes. We've decided that we're going to stop. God says, I've got a promise for you. We say, oh, that's good. I hope that you do that sometime, God. I hope that you carry that out sometime, God. I hope that one day I get to see you doing that. And if it's through me, even better, because then everyone will think I'm awesome. You know, I hope that someday it's going to take place. I hope that you carry out your promise someday and I get to see it. But faith is saying, I believe that promise is going to be carried out. And if it's me you're using, I'm going. I'm stepping out. I'm moving forward. People with great hope are immovable. People with great faith are unstoppable. You're unmovable if you've got great hope. I'm not moving. Whatever circumstance faces me, whatever challenge faces me, whatever trauma faces me, whatever difficulty, whatever that person says about me, I'm not moving. I've got hope. But faith says, now start running. Whatever comes up against you, you keep going and you push through and you see new things because of it. You step out onto that ice and experience what you never thought you could experience. You go into the new places. You speak the words that you were always afraid to speak. You walk the places you were always afraid to go. You reach to people you were always afraid to reach to, because faith, when it's in your heart, you're unstoppable. You're unstoppable. Sometimes we, instead of having a faith that moves us, we just say, I have a faith. You know, I'm a person of faith. And usually when someone says, I'm a person of faith, it's in response to when someone says, hey, you know, why don't you swear like the rest of us? Oh, I'm a person of faith. You know, that's why I'm a person of faith. And so people of faith don't do that. Hey, why don't you come out and party? Oh, I'm a person of faith. Hey, why do you stay in that marriage? Oh, I'm a person of faith. I do the right thing. I do the right thing all the time. And we think sometimes faith has been limited to this idea of just doing the right thing here and there. Of being a moral superhero, you know. Now I know all the right things to do, and I know all the things I shouldn't do, and all the right things, I'm just going to stick to all of those things. And we say that's what faith is. I'll tell you, if that's all that faith is for us, the people from around this world are going to look at us, and the Comox Valley are going to look at us and say, I don't actually want that. I don't actually want to be a faith that now I know all the things that I'm doing wrong, and all I do is stop doing them. Faith isn't about just figuring out how to stop doing wrong things. It's about figuring out how to step into the things that you're called to and do greater things. The faith that will inspire this world is the faith that they look at you and all of a sudden say, what in the world? How did you give that much money to that person? I know what you make. How did you do that? It's the faith that says, how did you take all of that time with all of your gifting, all of your talent, all of your stuff? How did you take all of that time with that nobody and eat lunch with them all of those days? Why did you do that? Oh, I'm a person of faith. So you don't swear? No, yeah, okay, maybe that too. But I can do greater things. I can do more because I'm a person of faith. Matthew 1, 19 to 21 tells the story of Joseph. Joseph is Mary's husband, and Mary is the mother of Jesus. Matthew 1, 19 to 21. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man, Joseph has just heard that this woman that he's with, who is he has not yet been with, is pregnant. And so he says, he hears about that and says, because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man, a man of faith, because he was a righteous man, he did not want to expose her to public disgrace. He had in mind to divorce her quietly. That feels like the right thing, you know. Well, I'm not going to put her in prison. I'm not going to have her stoned by other people. I'm not going to have her ridiculed. I'm going to do the right thing, and I'll just quietly divorce her because I'm a righteous man. Because I'm a man of faith, that's what I'm going to do. But God came up to him and said, hey, man of faith, let's start using that faith to do something great. It says, but after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife. Because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people. When Joseph woke up, he said, I hope you carry that out, God. You know, when Joseph woke up, I sure hope everything works out for Mary, because I'm a righteous man and I'm good. No, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. Faith moves us to do new things. Faith causes us to step out in new ways, to take what seems risky and do it because God told us to. He believes in us. He's empowered us. He's given us his power. He's given us his authority. He's called us to do greater things than we could imagine doing. And that is faith. Hope keeps us and faith moves us forward. Hope is a fact. Faith is an act. You can tweet that if you want. I want to talk to you about five characteristics quickly, because then we're going to get into communion. Five characteristics of a faith that moves you. In Hebrews, the chapter that I talked to you about just a few minutes ago, Hebrews 11, it's this faith chapter. And one of the people that talks about the most, and he's talked about in other areas of Scripture too, is Abraham, Father Abraham. He's known as this man of faith. He's known as someone who was faithful to God and watched God be faithful to him. We've heard about him a couple times in the last few weeks. And I just want to go through his story a little bit and talk about the five characteristics that we see from him that causes us to have a faith that moves us into new things. First is this. A faith, to get that faith, it follows God's plan. That kind of faith follows God's plan. Hebrews 11:8 says, by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went. Now, here it is. Even though he did not know where he was going. Isn't that a funny thing? It doesn't make sense anywhere else, does it? Like, you go ask for directions. Excuse me, can you tell me where the nearest 7-Eleven is? Oh, yeah, sure. It's on Bernard Street. Okay. Thanks. You start driving. I have no idea where Bernard Street is, but anyways, let's carry on. That's sort of what Abraham did. Okay, Abraham, I want you to start going. Yes. What? Abraham, are you sure you don't want more details? No, you told me to go. Yes, I'm going. Doesn't even he doesn't even figure it out. He's like, can I get the detailed list? You can pull it up on Google's map, Jesus. I need some sort of details. I want you to tell me how to get there. Do you have a compass? Do you have anything? Do you have a tour guide? Someone who can show me the way at least? Are there some stops along the way? Where will I stay? Where's my hotel? Where what's it all going to look like? Tell me what I'm going to do. Can you at least give me some sort of direction? God, no, he doesn't say any of that. He says, Abraham, I want you to go to the land I will give you. Okay, I'm going. He hasn't even given it to him yet. Sounds good, God. So when are you going to give me the land? Abraham, I said go. Yeah, you're right. I'll just go. Just goes. Some of us have this, know God's plan for our life. I avoided being in ministry for years. Honestly. I avoided it in lots of ways in my life. I was like, I don't want to do that. It's scary. It doesn't sound good. And it doesn't pay all that much. And I'm not sure if I want to do that with my life. I'm not sure if that's what I want. So I'm going to try to avoid that for a long time. And so here's what my prayer life would look like. God, what do you want from my life? How often do we go to God and say, what would you like me to do? He's like, oh, the same thing I said last time that you haven't done yet. Okay, yeah, I get it, God. Anyways, what would you like me to do with my life, God? How often do we do this, hey? How often is this our prayer life? I'm just going to try to figure out what you actually want from me, God, because what you said you want from me, I know you don't actually want from me. So what do you actually want from me, Lord? No. The faith that's going to move you follows the plan God gives you. If you got a plan in your heart, follow it. Watch how faith starts to move you. Second one, it believes God's promise. This one's huge. Hebrews 11:9. By faith, he made his home in the promised land. This is Abraham. By faith, he made his home in the promised land. How do you make your home by faith? Well, you don't have a home, and you call it home. It's just bizarre how this worked. He made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did his sons Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. What? Here's what they do. They get to the land that God promised. Hey, this is it. This is the land God gave us. Isn't that amazing, incredible? Well, there's lots of people here. So I guess it's tent life for now. Lots of times when God promises something, we think it's going to look a certain way. And until we see that promise, we're like, we're not there yet. These guys are like, hey, we're there. I don't know how God's going to fulfill it all, how he's going to do it all, how it's all going to look out. But in the meantime, let's pitch a tent. And then he raises his kids in that tent. Like, it's not like, what, two nights and whatever, that's it. They stay in that place where they don't actually have a place to stay. And they just sort of stay there and say, well, this is the land God said. So until he tells us something else, we'll just believe that promise. And they just live there in tents. It says in chapter 11, verse 13, all these people, the writer is talking about Abraham and a number of other people, heroes of faith. All these people were still living by faith when they died. Still living by faith when they died. I hold on to that piece of scripture in my life a lot. All living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. Wait a sec. I thought God promised. Why didn't we receive it? Because you're still living by faith. God promised. Yeah, so I want it. No. God promised. You have faith to move towards it. And he'll decide what's going to happen from there on out. Whoa. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. In other words, they said, God's promises cannot be limited to just this planet. There's got to be something more because we don't have what we want on this planet right now. We don't have all the things that we've dreamt of on this planet right now. We don't have all the things that we thought we should get on this planet right now. So all we can conclude is this planet isn't the only thing that's going to fulfill the promises of God. And so we're going to expect them later on. In the meantime, we'll die in faith, believing in God's promises, even if we don't see them happen in this earth. Whoa! What would that mean for us, eh? Lord, we believe that you promised the Comox Valley. We believe that you have a plan to see hundreds and thousands. We believe that this whole city is going to be saved. We believe that high schools are going to be worshiping Jesus in this Comox Valley. We believe workplaces are going to have devotions before they do their paperwork and all this stuff. We believe that things are going to happen in this Comox Valley. Well, if we don't see it, it doesn't mean it's not going to happen. It means that we got to keep walking in faith. Faith moves us. Faith moves us to the next place. The third characteristic of a faith that will move you is it trusts God's provision. Hebrews 11:10 says, "For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God." Here he is in a tent, you know. Oh, isn't the promised land so nice? Tent and, you know, wildlife, stinging nettle, things like that. Isn't the promised land so nice? We just love it. Well, if they looked back at where they came from, it's going to look nicer often. Sometimes the choice for God to follow Him with your life doesn't mean you get everything nice now. And everything behind you is way worse than everything in your present day. All that you know for sure is you know that everything in your future is better. But behind you might be nicer than your present. But Abraham just decided, I better not look behind me or I'm going to end up going back. So he just looked forward to the thing that Jesus was building. He looked forward to the thing that God was building. He thought, well, God will build it ahead of us, and in the meantime we'll sleep in tents and we won't look back, because if we look back, we'll go back. And so we'll just live here. Trusted God's provision. The fourth one is it relies on God's preparations. Hebrews 11:15 to 16 said, "If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them." You know, so much of Scripture talks about the things that we do in this life. And it often says, if you want to build for yourself things in this life, then you can do that, but they'll all die with you. If you want to build for yourself something that lasts, you need to invest in the eternal kingdom. You need to invest in the work of God. And then God will start building you your home, your eternal home. He'll start creating that for you. You know, He's building stuff for you. Our generosity to people, our giving of our lives to people, our caring for those who aren't cared for normally, our loving of the widows and the orphans, our looking out for the broken and the needy and the homeless and the hungry, our doing that isn't always going to pay off here. But God is building us a city. So Abraham says, well, God, you're building a city up there and you got a mansion for me and a nice bed and that's what my eternity looks like. Then I'll take a tent for this life, if that's what you got for me then. Worship team, you can come and join me. And also Pastor George and Jessica are going to serve our communion servers who will soon serve us too. The fifth one is this. So the first was the faith that moves you. It follows God's plan. Second is it believes God's promise. Third, it trusts God's provision. Fourth, it relies on God's preparations. And fifth, it knows God's potential. There's a story in the Bible that's really hard to take. And it's another one my daughter always wants to read. And I'm like weeping about the story usually. And she's like, let's read that one, Daddy. It's a story when Abraham, who prayed for a son for a long time, and now has been given a son, and God says to him this really crazy thing. He says, okay, Abraham, go and sacrifice your son. Abraham says, what in the world is that? But yes. He starts walking up this mountain with his son, who he prayed for and who God gave to him. He's walking up the side of this mountain, going to the place that he thinks he's supposed to go, heading to this new spot and planning on sacrificing his son. He's thinking all the way, like, what is going to happen? How do we do this? What happens if I don't? Like, well, you know, how will things move forward from this day on? What are things going to look like after this point? I mean, what's my wife going to say? What's she going to say to me when I come back on my own? But here's what he says in Hebrews 11:19. Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead. And figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the death, from death. Abraham's walking up the mountain, and this is his thinking. Can you imagine having this faith? Hey, if my son has killed, God can just raise him back to life anyways. What? Wouldn't it be so amazing to have that faith? Wouldn't it be awesome to wake up every day and say, God, I'm ready to take on this day. Wherever you call me, I'm going. I'm going to be firmly secured in hope. I'm not going to be moved by my circumstances or challenges or what comes against me, because I'm anchored in the truth of Jesus Christ, and I have the hope for the future and for great things. I know it's there. But come and call me to do whatever you want, and I'm going. I'll walk into it. Because I know even if I mess it up, even if I do something wrong, you can raise the dead to life. You can do great things, even through my mess-ups, even through my confusion, even through my distraction, my brokenness. You can do great things. So even if I step into something that I shouldn't be stepping into, you can fix it, God. Faith moves us. It moves us. One of the things that faith moves us to is just Jesus. By faith, you have received grace. Grace is something that God offers to us. And by faith, we reach out and say, Lord, I'm broken. And I need that. I've messed up. And I need that. I've sinned. And I need that. And by faith, it's yours. By faith, you can receive all the love and mercy of Jesus Christ for your life. That's what communion is for us. It's to remind us of that reality. Jesus came and died for us while we were still sinners so that we could know the life that he gives, now and forever. So that now we could live in such a way that we're not bound up in the material things of this world, because we're free to just worship him. That gives a lot of life, but also reminds us that we've got an eternity with Christ. A life that is beyond all things we can imagine. We get a little taste here and there on this planet, but God's got a plan for eternity where he's building us a city to those who would be faithful to him here and now. And he's done it. He's built it all. He's allowed us to receive it through Jesus Christ. And if we would just have faith in him, say, Lord, I believe your sacrifice. Because God sacrificed his son. As Abraham was going to go sacrifice his. I believe your sacrifice is worth it and will save me. And by faith I receive it. Just as Abraham knew Isaac could be raised from the dead, we can all see that God would raise that only son sacrifice from the dead. And Jesus was raised. He was raised for our sin and loves each of us.